When long-standing problems at the Veterans Affairs Department started boiling more than a couple of years ago, they prompted Congress to change the law. In particular, Congress wanted more accountability for VA managers, in some sense changing their terms of employment. Those changes didn't just affect the VA, though. They made a big difference for the Merit Systems Protection Board, which had to deal with appeals from VA staff hit by adverse actions. Joining me with how it looks from the MSPB side, Chairman Susan Sway Grundman. Great to have you back.
Good morning, Tom.
How has the CHOICE Act changed what the MSP does? I mean, how does it look from where you sit?
Okay, well, let's first talk legally. The CHOICE Act altered two things. It made the process much faster, not just for us, but for the parties as well. It's 21 days instead of 120 days. Second, as we all know, it took the board members out of the process, and as a result, rendered a decision by the administrative judge to be the final decision of the MSPB without board review or court review. But what the law didn't change is what goes into that process, and that's still discovery, motions, the right to raise affirmative defenses, as well as a right to a hearing, along with the substantive law that follows this.
And knowing that they are the final word on this, has that changed, do you feel, how the judges go about their work?
Let's put it this way. The bottom line is that the administrative judges know that they are the final word, and not just for this agency, but overall. They make the best call they can based on the facts and the law within the time frame prescribed. Otherwise, the secretary's decision to demote or remove stands by default, which essentially means there's no right to independent review beyond the 21 days if we don't issue the decision.
There's a little bit less, I guess, of a workload if you take out VA from the board itself, from you and your colleagues.
Not necessarily. I mean, what we've seen so far is that this is an intense process. For any administrative judge assigned to these cases, it is around the clock, 20, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. All of the cases go on hold that are assigned to that judge. There is a team of folks behind this administrative judge, either other attorneys, paralegals, IT specialists, round the clock. And then there's also the practical things beyond us that we see. For instance, two of the recent cases that went to hearing occurred during the snowstorm, which closed the federal government, D.C. Some of the witnesses could not be located because the government was closed. In another case, the appellant was represented by an attorney who was scheduled for some necessary surgery. So he asked for a continuance, which we couldn't grant. As a result, the appellant had to proceed, and she had to waive her right to a hearing because she didn't have counsel.
So the timing factor built into the law is pretty much totally inflexible, in other words, even for surgery?
Absolutely. There are no continuances.
And I wanted to ask you about the idea of the judges being able to mitigate a handout from the agency. If they fire someone and the judges decide that, well, maybe less than that sanction is required, that doesn't happen for VA anymore?
I think the last three decisions indicated that there's no mitigation at all because it's all up or all down.
Again, that's only for VA, though, under the CHOICE Act.
It's under for the VA SESers under the CHOICE Act. Now, if the VA could choose to proceed not using the CHOICE Act, and then the regular rules of law would apply.
But so far, what they have done, at least in the cases that have made the news headlines, they have used the CHOICE Act.
Correct.
And so it would appear that because of what the VA chose and what the judges handed back, such as two demotions that were undone, those people just returned to work recently, what happens if the agency doesn't agree with the board's or the judge's decision?
Well, that's a great question. I mean, certainly, if you don't agree with the decision, if the agency doesn't agree with the decision, there is a process that would normally occur in an appeals period, either before the board or the U.S. Court of Appeals. But there's no appeal in this case. Now, having said that, our entire federal personnel system, and not just the system applying to the MSPB, is predicated on the notion that the parties, both appellants and agencies, will abide by the ruling of the third party, in this case us, whether they agree with it or not. If the parties are free to pick and choose which rulings that they will follow, then there goes the rule of law, Tom.
Because I must say, in reading what Sloan Gibson, the assistant VA secretary, was saying upon the return of Kimberly Graves and Diana Rubens, that he sounded very conciliatory, even though he said he was going to try to find some sanction. But on the other hand, he seemed ready to get them back to work and acknowledge that they had some pretty good support from the people that used to work for them.
That's good. That's good.
We're speaking with Susan Sway Grundman. She's chairman of the Merit Systems Protection Board. With all these consequences as a result of the law, have you had any conversations with Congress, or have they asked you, how did this come out from the MSPB's point of view?
Yes, as recently as a few weeks ago, we met with the Veterans Affairs Committees in both the House and the Senate, but not about these decisions. It was really a technical conversation as they consider whether to change the law. For example, we offered our views on the 21 days, on burdens of proof, on things that you and I are discussing right now.
But so far, there's nothing, no move afoot. There's no bill at this point that would do that.
There are a couple out there. I don't know if this isn't going to be a separate bill.
Here's a detail question. The Douglas factors, what are those, and can the judges at the board apply those when VA is involved here?
The Douglas factors don't technically apply to these cases. However, if you note, one of the administrative judges said she found them informative in evaluating the penalty.
What exactly are the Douglas factors? Just so in case people have not had been hauled before the board or before their agency for discipline might not know what they are.
Sure. There are 12 factors that range range from the seriousness of the offense to the longevity of the employee's career, to past discipline, towards notoriety of the offense, towards rehabilitation. There are a whole bunch of them.
Getting back to the law as it stands now for VA, it sounds like that it has had a pretty big effect on the workload and on the process that the judges have to go through. Is that because of the law itself, or just the volume of cases coming from VA?
It's the time frame and the volume of documents involved. And the fact, which we talked about earlier, that the administrative judge understands that he or she is the last word.
And so what they do has a lot more freight possibly in their minds than it might have, knowing that the MSPB itself could, as it does in other agencies, ultimately hear the case if people don't like what happened at the judge level.
You bet.
So what are the judges feeling? Have they said to you that anything, have you gotten any reaction from the judges about how they're dealing with it?
Well, for the 21 days, it is all they think and do. From motions are coming in at any time, and the administrative judge is ruling on those motions all hours of the day. In terms of the document production, and this is why these cases are so intense, not just for the parties, but for us, we're talking thousands and thousands of pages to be digested and rendered into a final decision, all within 21 days.
And of course, the VA is a big agency, and there could be no really end to this level of business coming from someone that large.
Certainly, we've had 8 cases so far, so it's not a wealth of cases, but it is enough to see a pattern. And what the last few cases have shown, that when there is no right to appeal under the Choice Act, it can work for or against the employee, and it can work for or against the VA. And I'm not sure that dawned on everybody at the time. Let me just note that we're not at war against the VA or Congress. We're just trying to do our job, our 220-person agency, applying the law that Congress passed in the time frame that Congress passed.
And seeing the consequences of this law, were they unintended to you? That is to say, are you surprised by what has happened under the law, or did you feel this is what's going to happen if anyone cares to listen?
I am not surprised. The last cases have demonstrated that the consequences, intended or unintended, is that sometimes the VA could lose, in which case they won't be able to appeal. When the employee loses, the employee also won't be able to appeal.
All right, so that throws everyone kind of in a common mixing bowl there.
That's it.
Susan Sway Grundman is chairman of the Merit Systems Protection Board. As always, thanks so much for joining me.
Thank you.
Share this interview with colleagues. Go to federalnewsradio.com/federaldrive and click share with friends.